Hey there, and welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. Today is episode number 260, and I'm your host, John Zombro. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being a lifetime athlete, someone who values living the athletic life, the rugged life, the healthy, vital, robust life, and any way you do it, my hat's off to you. Actually, my hat's on right now because I'm wearing a hat because I've got the headphones on. But so fun to get in front of the microphone and talk about all things health, fitness, longevity, and performance. I guess that's the wheelhouse here at the Lifetime Athlete. And, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're an up-and-comer, a high school athlete, a collegian, an Olympian, or maybe you're someone who's decidedly by yourself in middle age and you're pursuing fitness with enthusiasm or recreational athletics at a competitive level. Doesn't matter. Maybe you're trying to be a super granny or super granddad or just do all those things in life that are so much more enhanced when we have athletic, plaque-resistant blood vessels and athletic dementia-free neurons and so forth and so on. You get my picture here. Of course you do because you're listening. Did I say I love you? Yes, I do. And one of the things I want to talk about today, the main topic is this. It's how to develop an annual training plan. And so, yeah, I mean, annual sounds like it's yearly and yeah, whatever. It just really means how do we create an ongoing plan that is an LTAD or long-term athletic development plan or model so we can get the most out of ourselves. And it doesn't always have to renew every year, but I think it's better to, first of all, not just exercise, but to train and give that endeavor meaning and purpose and outcomes. But also when we behave according to a plan, yeah, we tend to be more consistent and get better results. So the annual training plan, it can take any number of forms, and a lot of this can revolve around your sport, the thing that you love, and so it probably has a season, and then you might build your year using a seasonal model, and the most classic one of those is an off-season, you know, where we're building and developing, a pre-season, honing, sharpening, a peak season, that's the end season where we're doing mostly the thing and trying to maintain those capacities that we developed, and then the post-season where a lot of that relates to recovery. A great model indeed. And what I'm going to do is I'll probably bounce around and talk about that a little bit, but I want to mainly talk about how I've developed an annual training plan or ATP for the training tribe. And most of us in the training tribe have things we like to do. Sometimes it's only a couple, sometimes it's quite a few, but we just want to be able to do them at a very high level, at a moment's notice, not be destroyed in the process, among other things. So maybe I'll tell you a bit about how the training plan, annual training plan for the training tribe works, you know, describe it a little bit, some of the things that we're trying to do with it. And then we can even talk about, you know, that model specifically, how we progress largely through the year going from strength to power to speed. And then we move into endurance and then we train agility. Now we're doing all of those things all the time, but we're emphasizing each one of those in a block, and that's a block periodized model. I'll try to give you some more information about that as I go along. I think this podcast episode will probably be relatively brief, but I also think it's going to be quite valuable because my goal is just to kind of get you thinking, oh man, there's maybe a little bit more to just doing, you know, some movement and some general daily activity and all of that. And then I've got this exercise and training, but maybe I can make it more enjoyable, more effective. And the big three things that we're always trying to do here at Lifetime Athlete is get some results, have some fun, not get hurt in the process. And that's kind of how I build my philosophy into the coaching services that I provide, whether that's via the group like the Training Tribe or with the individuals who I coach in consultative manners. Well, yeah, It's an interesting and fun thing, you know, these topics. And so the annual training plan for T2 is based upon the rationale that the lifetime athlete will combine an area or a couple of athletic specialization with a generalized or well-rounded or complete level of athleticism. So thus, the lifetime athlete is a more athletic athlete. And by using our block periodization model and by cyclically emphasizing the five capacities of human performance, tribe members can essentially hone their assets, which are the strengths, to high levels, while also shoring up their liabilities or weaknesses. And really what this does is it develops and maintains an athlete that can produce peak performance many times in his or her chosen sport, as well as just be able to express those qualities, those outputs, those products, which provide more versatility and durability in both athletics and even life when you really think about it. So as a tribe member, we really try to help folks to crush primary goals. And that's kind of where my coaching comes from, is I only do three things with my coaching, is help people get out of pain, get lean and healthy, smash goals, and in any order or priority based on what the client wants. And it's really important for all of us to wake up every day knowing that, hey, you can kick ass at just about anything that comes your way. That's being HTK or hard to kill. And it's one of the big things that we work on in the tribe. So the five major capacities of human performance, they are as follows. And you can present these in any order: strength, power, speed, agility, and endurance. Now, that's the order that we use them going through the calendar. But again, each of those things is perhaps of equal importance in the human beast. All these capacities are vitally important. Although to varying degrees, when you start looking at sport or position, specific goals, body type, age, other factors. And, you know, we can further illustrate these athletic capacities or human performance capacities by providing some very simple definitions. Strength is max force. Speed is max velocity. Power is force times distance divided by time. It has an anaerobic and an aerobic feature. Agility is the combination of mobility plus stability plus reactivity plus fluidity. And then endurance is fatigue resistance. And that's both in terms of cardiorespiratory fitness and muscular fatigue resistance or endurance. It's really important for every athlete to have a reasonable amount of proficiency in each of these capacities. And certainly high abilities in one or several of those categories, again, based on their unique genetic gifts and area of specialization. That specific mix of desirable traits varies quite a bit from person to person, and it can even change over time within the same individual. So you can actually dive a bit deeper into this topic if you'd like to take a look at my video on the Lifetime Athlete YouTube channel, identifying and leveraging your assets and liabilities in training. And also, there's another cool video that you can check out, the Capacity Rating System, or CRS, where you can rank and score your abilities in each of those five major capacities to come up with an overall score that can help guide your training and develop this annual training plan. So when we think about also these capacities, there's a specific type of training which produces each. And so strength, as well as muscular hypertrophy, is developed through resistance training. Speed is developed with maximum intent speed training or sprint training in most cases. Power, high intensity repetitions in most cases. That's what we're doing, big outputs. And some of that's so fun when we are dragging the sleds and pushing, pulling, doing things like that to develop power. Agility. Well, agility training is really that combination of all things in that short list that I had, which was mobility, stability, fluidity, and reactivity. So, you know, being a movement smith is what that's all about, being able to own just about every position from the developmental sequence on up, and then to be a master, or at least have high competency of motion in every direction from those positions. And then when you're trying to develop endurance, that's a factor of, you know, various adjustments in training volume and density or rest periods, but also a lot, or at least a significant amount at some times of the year, of low intensity steady state training. Okay, taking that concept of complete and individualized athleticism even a bit further, we almost don't care how an athlete actually trains. Believe it or not, even though I'm talking about this training plan, what matters most is that they have good function in all of those capacities I just went over, regardless of how they get there. And really, it's important for me to say the approaches to training are and can be infinite. And many forms of exercise have scientifically been proven to produce primary and secondary benefits, as well as crossover effects. And so sometimes that personal mixology can be quite variable. Different athletes respond in different and varying degrees. So I can't tell you that there's one and only one way to get and stay completely athletic. I can only tell you that I want you to achieve this state and that you should periodically assess your status and adjust your programming. Obviously, with the Training Tribe programming, it's got a lot of adaptability built into it, so it can be adjusted and scaled to the individual. And then, of course, with my coaching clients, when we do the one-on-one work, it's even more customized than that. But all that stated, wouldn't it be nice to just have kind of a system that regularly covers the basis that you need in training, so you know you can rest assured you're not leaving out anything important? You create your own system, lays it all out for you, and then you can essentially execute and get those bennies. So how we divide up the annual training program, program for T2 is using that, as I mentioned before, block periodization model. So I'm going to take a sip of water, and then I'll get right back to it. Okay, so block periodization. At T2, we divide the year into five specific blocks, each block having a primary emphasis on one performance capacity and a secondary focus to varying degrees on the other four areas of athleticism. So we're always dabbling in those five. Each block's length and placement is strategic for a variety of reasons, including the seasons of the year, that is the seasonality model. And you can also check out that by going to thelifetimeathlete.com in the search bar, type in seasonality, and you can get an article and a podcast which explains how I've used ancestral-based thinking into modern performance. So each block, it's strategic, as I mentioned there, and we have the stimulus response adaptation model that we use. And so September through November, since it's fall, I'll just talk about that right now. That's the endurance block. And then in December, January, kind of the dark and shortness of winter, we train agility. That's mostly indoors, gym-based. February, March, and April, that's where we have strength. And it includes some interesting training splits. And we kind of start out more with a hypertrophy model. And then we move into a max strength component. May and June is all about power. And so we're starting to get outside in our workouts, as well as supplementing with gym. And then July, August, all about the speed. And it's actually really nice when you're in summer and hot weather for two reasons. One, speed training has a lot of breaks in it, which is good for training in the heat. And also that heat helps to keep you as warm and supple and loose as necessary to maybe reduce or possibly even eliminate injury risk if the programming is spot on. Now, each month within the blocks is unique to itself as well. There are clear objectives and training modules. So in the first week of any month, we have what we call introduction. And so we introduce the month's programming, we identify the key performance indicators or KPIs, and we get going with training. Now that second week, we'll have a progression of volume or a modest workload increase, and we tend to call that accumulation. Third week, we advance a bit more intensity, so that workload significantly increases. That's where we have the intensification. And finally, there's also usually some tests and competitions, kind of fun things we do, whether that's stuff that you can do testing on your own or with a tribe, with a virtual competition, and we use our forum to communicate on that. It's kind of fun to have leaderboards and sometimes win a t-shirt or something along those lines. And then that fourth week is what we call the deload week. We're deloading or slightly reducing the overall workload to allow for realization, let the body catch up and undergo that adaptation. So the simple way of looking at it is you've got weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 in a month, and that's implementation, accumulation, intensification, and realization. And so a lot of words, but it's fun to see that cyclical wave every month and know that you're really training just like the pros do. Let's see. Also within each week, we'll have some type of a purpose-driven training split that performs or has you performing or has the athletes in the tribe performing certain things each day with information on how they can adjust it to their goals. So now I'll talk a little bit about the weighting of the training blocks. Again, this is just the model that we're using for the tribe, but it's an interesting one for a lot of people who are probably or listening. You might be able to glean something from it. So each training block contains a weighted emphasis on those five capacities. And if I use an arbitrary number of 20, the major capacity of a block, let's say if right now it's an endurance block, which is emphasized, is assigned a value of 9. And then the others, the other four remaining capacities of human performance receive lower numbers in differing fashion. So there's kind of a lot of scientific mojo that went into that developing it. But basically about 45% of the training in any block is completely specific to the name of the block. And then the rest is filled in, again, to optimize the training and balance out the athlete. So I've even, you know, for our team members, I've graphed this or put it in a bar chart for them so they can kind of see how each block, which elements they're working on. And it's fun to know that kind of stuff. I mean, a lot of people say, I don't even care. Just tell me what to do because I trust you. I appreciate that, but I don't take that for granted or take advantage of folks. I want to give them all the information behind it. Also, what we do is using that seasonality model, we try to mix what we're doing inside in the gyms, and whether that's a home gym or a commercial gym, with what we're doing outside. And so the nicer months of the year, and I don't know, it does depend on where you live to some extent, but let's say it's some of spring, it's most of summer, and a bit of fall. Again, that might be a little bit different if someone's in, let's say, the desert Southwest. But nonetheless, we have ways that we can adjust that model. And so what we try to do is have a lot of the workouts where when the weather's nice, we can go outside and we can not only get that fitness and conditioning in and sport and play and competition and fun, but we can also grab some vitamin D and some fresh oxygen and some grounding or earthing and maybe some fellowship, and that's really important. All those things are. So yeah, that stuff's built in, and I guess my point there just talking about it was to say, hey, you know what? You might want to take advantage of that too. And a lot of times, again, it's going to be driven by your sport, but it's just very important to get outside when we can and then, make the most of when we have to be inside. And so I like to do that in certain ways. I think if you want to create programs that are destined to fail and make people bored or angry or even just not getting results, have them do like tons of indoor steady state cardio. It's pretty boring, to do that. So I try to keep the indoor workouts a little bit briefer most of the year. Actually, when the daylight hours are the shortest, I call them micro workouts, and we don't train as extensively as we do in the summer. But we dabble with intensity all year long, but the volume does change. And so just when I think about these training plans and models, it's cool for me because everything is so enjoyable to craft, but it's also unlimited in what you can do. So if you think about the different properties that you might want to have in your body, and again, those are those major things I was talking about, and then you might say, okay, well, what do I have them? And if you say, gosh, I've got every capacity where I need it to be. Now, no one person is going to have the highest of scores in every one of those five capacities. Some of those work against each other. But do you have a really good balance for you? And if you do, then probably it's like, oh, well, don't change too much because whatever you're doing is working extremely well. But for most people, and myself included, we'll be fair and kind to the self and objective and say, okay, I don't quite have what I need. How can I adjust things a bit more? So then, you know, that's what we do with this program is help folks to say, okay, I can see where I'm a little bit lagging. I can work and bring that up, but I also can see my strengths. There are times when you want to hone your strengths and go to them and do mainly that, whether that's at a specific time period or generally through the lifespan. But also there's a lot of our training where we want to make sure that our weaknesses don't become pronounced and end up biting our proverbial beast in the buttock. So probably enough rambling just to say, hey, how to develop an annual training plan. I think the very first thing is, you know, just decide, you know, how you want your year to be shaped or what's your most important thing and build around it. And then whether you use a block periodized model like we do in the tribe or some type of seasonal approach or even a cyclical one with micro, meso, and macro cycles, doesn't matter. And you may want to get a coaching consult with me or just get a coach in general or read some books or other resources, because there's a lot of, as I mentioned earlier, benefits to be gained from using this approach. It can keep us healthier, fitter, more motivated. Kind of takes away even some of the motivation because it's just an enjoyable thing that you do and it gets results reliably. So there's some thoughts on the annual training plan, and thank you so much for being with me today. Till next time on the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, Coach Jay-Z signing off.